Book of Matthew, chapter 4, starting from verse 1.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
What spirit was leading him to go to the wilderness? But we believe the Holy Spirit led him, or the God led him to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now somebody would say, why God wanted his son to be tempted? Because first Adam was tempted or tested, and he failed in the test. This is the second Adam. So the first Adam was tested, the second Adam should be tested. So if you read in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting from verse 45.
And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
Now here the word of God is saying, first Adam was from earth, second Adam is from heaven. So as we were earthly, so we should be also heavenly. And then this verse 50th, it says, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God wanted us to go to heaven. So Adam, even though he did not commit sin, he will be staying on the earthly garden as long as he wants if he didn't commit sin. But if he would have passed the test, then he can go to heavenly paradise. And that was the plan of God, that only Jesus Christ can take us to the heavenly paradise, because he says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, or cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the man, the word of God says to Adam, the day you will eat this food, you will surely die. So the man, if he didn't eat the food, he would not die, but he will not go to heaven, because he was flesh and blood, according to the scripture. But Jesus Christ came, died for us, he was buried. When he came out of the grave, he had a new body. He could go through the wall. So that body was a completely a different body. So that's the kind of body we are going to get. So here we see the Holy Spirit also is God. The God is Spirit. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, taking Jesus Christ into the wilderness. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. Enemy didn't come. Now, at that particular time, what Jesus Christ was doing and what he was talking to Father is not recorded. But I think he had the fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit 40 days and 40 nights. The Word of God says, Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So naturally, it comes in your mind, Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I fasted 40 days and 40 nights. No, I should now eat something. And that's what the Word of God says. He became hungry. So now we are comparing the test of Jesus Christ, and the test came to the Adam. Now even the Eve disobeyed God, but her name was still Adam, according to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. God created man and woman, and he gave them name a man, or some Bible says mankind. Now if you read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, all the fruits and all the vegetables he made. They were good looking and nice to look at. Please read.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Now here he says, every tree God made, when you look at that tree, it looked pleasant. There was no horrible trees, or no dangerous tree, no thistles and thorny tree. Beautiful, and the good fruits and good looking fruits. Why I'm saying this? Because when Eve was tempted, she started looking at fruit. We will come to that when the enemy asked the questions. But let's read a few more verses and then we'll go to the chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.
God created mankind. God says to Adam, every tree of the garden you can eat freely. But when the enemy comes, see how the enemy comes to deceive. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 3 and start reading from verses 1 to 6.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
Now see the foolish question. The enemy comes and says, did God tell you not to eat any fruit of the garden? That means he is saying, did God prohibit you to eat any fruit of the garden? They were eating the fruit freely. And so he puts the doubt, every tree is prohibited or every fruit is prohibited. And so see what she gives the answer.
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
When we read in the book of Genesis chapter 2, God did not say, don't touch the fruit. He just said, don't eat. So see how it happens? When Adam got the message and Adam delivered to his wife, she messed up some teaching. That's what happens second hand and third hand when you keep on giving the story. It changes, and finally it changes a lot. So here she says, God told us you cannot even touch that tree. So he got the point. Okay, if that's the way it is, touch and see what happens. That's the kind of idea. So let's read a little bit further.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
You will die, he said, no, sure, you will not die if you touch it.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
See what it says, how the fruit was? We read it in the Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. The fruit God made, that the tree God made, that was pleasant to the sight anyhow. But now she started looking to this fruit. This fruit looks much better than the other fruits. And that's what she started thinking. If this fruit I will eat, fruit will make me wise. She's thinking, he said if you eat this, you will know good and evil, you will be wiser. But enemy was lying. The day they ate the fruit, instead of getting wiser, they became fool. They knew good and evil, but they lost the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God has the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. When you receive the Spirit of God, your spiritual eyes open. But instead of that, they knew what good and bad is, but their spiritual eyes completely blinded. That's why they found out they're naked. They didn't know God can see us when we're naked, when we hide in under the tree. Can God see us? All these things they could not understand after eating that fruit. So the point I'm making here, compared to Jesus Christ's temptation, or trial, and this people's trial. This Adam or his wife didn't have any problem. They were not hungry, and so they were not hungry to eat the fruit. But in Jesus' case, he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, so he was actually hungry. Enemy comes when you are in your weakest point, when we are really, really bombarded with some of the things, or we got some kind of doubt in some things. How can I do this, and how can I live for tomorrow? And all these things comes in your mind, you start losing your faith. And that's the time enemy comes to attack. So here the enemy comes. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4 and verse 2.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.
When you are hungry, that's the time enemy comes. Somebody say, how come? You are very hungry, you want to eat, and that's the time somebody gives you extra work, somebody tells you to do something, or somebody wants to take your time or something, you don't feel good. That's the time enemy comes and uses us. But here is the word of God is saying, when the enemy came, and what did he say to him? He said to him, If thou be the Son of God. What the problem here? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When he took the baptism, Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, he heard the voice. Devil also heard it, and many other people might have heard it. Jesus knew that he is the Son of God, but he is putting doubt in his mind. He might be saying, well, you didn't hear it right. Or if you are really Son of God, then you can do miracle. What God said to Adam, the day you will eat this fruit, you will surely die. Here comes the enemy, he says, you will not die. And the word of God says, when God created Adam and he kept in the garden to keep the garden, means take control of garden. No enemy should come without God's permission. But enemy came, put the doubt in their mind, and they had no business even talking to enemy, or even the Eve didn't have business. Even if she was talking, he would have said, hey, who is that stranger? Don't talk to him. Come here. Or he should have gone there and stopped that enemy and get out of my garden. But they start listening. Now see Jesus' example. Jesus heard what devil said. He says, if you are a Son of God, then you command this stone to be bread. And so gives the thought, let me think, it's nothing wrong to make the stone bread, I'm hungry. That's what the people do, stealing, and they say, well, I was hungry, so I did it. My people were hungry, that's what I did it. And they do robbery and killing and things like that because they have some kind of need. Instead of going to God, devil gives them idea. And so here, the enemy comes, first question he asked, if you are the Son of God, then you command this stone to make bread. And now Jesus would have said, okay, I am a Son of God, and I'm going to prove it to him that I can make a bread from the stone. But Jesus came to know, who is giving me command? My enemy telling me something. Why should I obey him? If I obey the enemy, I will be his slave. That's what Adam did. Adam listened to enemy. Adam means the woman was Adam also. We have no business taking the command from the enemy and listening and going against God. When we listen to enemy, we became enemy's friend. And when you became enemy's friend, you became God's enemy. That's what happened. When the man committed sin, man became enemy to God. And that's why Jesus Christ came into this world. Now here we see why God the Father or God the Holy Spirit took Jesus Christ in the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the enemy, because that's the reason Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came into this world to what? Destroy the works of the devil. And that's what his work was. Go to the 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. God was trying to say, now this is your battlefield. That's what you came. Now you have to defeat the enemy.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Okay, so this is what the Jesus Christ came, and now he was on the battlefield to destroy his work and not to listen to him. And so the Jesus Christ gave him an answer. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4.
But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Now when he say, It is written, that means, see, Jesus Christ memorized this scripture. He memorized from the Old Testament. Go to the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So he memorized the scripture. So when devil came to attack him, he told him, It is written, this is God's law. I'm not going to break the God's law. I fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't die, and I'm not going to die if I don't eat today. So I am going to listen to the word of God and trust in the word of God. Okay, please read.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
This is what Jesus Christ was saying. The man will not live by bread alone, because God provided manna in the wilderness. That same God, when you depend on God, he will provide your needs. Sometimes people are looking at their pocketbook, they're looking at their bank balance, they're looking in their refrigerator, they're looking everything, there is nothing, and that's why people get panic. But our God is all-sufficient God. The Word of God says, we don't walk by what? Sight, we walk by faith. When we don't have money in our pocket, when we don't have food in our refrigerator, when we don't have money in our bank account, that's the time we trust in God. He will supply the needs. And that's why he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word comes out of the mouth of God, we will live. Now somebody will say, how long you're going to live without food? The word of God is saying, God gave the manna in the wilderness. That God will provide. But the somebody eats good food, eat all kinds of vitamins, does all kinds of exercise, and they die. We heard the other day, young man was doing exercise and died. And finally they found out why he died. The point I'm making, this life on this earth is temporary. Other day we heard that man, 62 years old, came to work Friday, say, have a good weekend, and Sunday morning, drop dead. So the life on this earth is very short. You can eat vitamins, you can do exercise, you can eat the best food in the town, but when the time comes, you're going to die. So here the word of God is saying, you don't trust in the worldly food or worldly things. Trust in God, he will supply the needs. And if you trust in the word of God, you will never go wrong. Okay, Matthew chapter 4, verse 5.
Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.
The devil takes him in the pinnacle of the temple. Now, some movies are made there. Actually, they are taking Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple. But I don't think literally Jesus went to pinnacle of the temple. Why? First of all, he was in the wilderness. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He had no strength to walk from there and go to the top of the temple and jump from there. This is just the enemy bringing him thoughts. If you do that, the angel will protect you. And he giving the Bible scripture. Because Jesus Christ says, it is written, and because what is written, I'm standing by the word of God, so that a devil coming, giving the word of God. So do, this is the what word of God says, and he will protect you. And where he got this scripture? Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways.
He says, God will give charge over the angel to keep thee in all the ways. Means, devil got goofed. He's giving the Bible scripture, but when you see that God is going to protect you every way, whatever the problem you're going through, but he's giving only one idea. If you jump, you will not get crashed. Okay, verse 12.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Now he is saying, jump from here, the angels will come and protect you, and you will not die. You will not get hurt. Sounds good idea, but the angel forgot a little bit, couple of verses more.
Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet.
Now, do you know the adder and all these scorpions and dragon, all these evil things represent the devil. And so he didn't want to say this scripture, but he's saying, listen to me and jump and God's angel will protect you. But at the same time, the God says, God has given us power, angel will come and protect us. And not only one time, but every situation. Read the verse 14.
Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name.
The word of God says, if you love me, I will deliver you, and I will set you on high. Why? Because you love me. And so when we love the Lord, he will give the promotions, do everything what you need. But you don't have to do it a crooked way. Sometimes people do crooked way to get a promotion. To get a job, they do crooked things. Certain things, if they are not even qualified, they will write something. When I was not saved, and there was a job opening, and the age limit was 18, and I was 16. And my family didn't have the money. Nobody was working at that time. My father lost the job. And so I went there and stood in the line, and they say, you have to be 18. I said, I'm 19. And they looking at me, they did not say, bring me the certificate, bring me your birth date or anything. And so I got a job right away. The point I'm making, people do something wrong to get something. When I got that job, I'm just trying to tell you, that job, I lost it middle of the night. And I walked from there miles and miles to coming home. And I was depressed why I lost that job. But one man came from the Bombay city, looking in the suburb, the boss of the company, they were partners, one partner came, and he came to looking for me, and we didn't have the code number, house name, nothing. It's just like in the farm, there is a hut. And so I was just sitting there. The man comes, and my father was a school teacher, master. He says, is the master's son lives here? So I said, sir, what do you want from that son? He said, oh, we're looking for him for a job, because I know the master's son is very smart because his father told us. So I said, that's me. And so I got the job, even though there was all the French perfumes and everything was in French. I said, I can do it. And by the grace of God, I got that job. And that's the last job I did when Jesus called me. I gave up that job. But the point I'm making, when you get the job with doing wrong or for the promotion or something like that, God is not going to honor you. So the devil is trying to tell him, jump from here, the angel will come, will protect you. It is written in the word of God. And so Jesus knew all these scriptures by heart. So Jesus knew I had to listen to God. I cannot listen to him. So let's go back to the Matthew chapter 4, verse 7.
Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Okay. Go to the Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16.
Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah.
And read the verse 13 also, same chapter.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name.
So you don't tempt God, but you serve him, you love him, and you follow him. Okay, let's go to verse 8. Matthew 4:8.
Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Now here the devil was trying to show him all the kingdoms of the world. How can you go to the highest mountain and you can see all the kingdom of the world? But this is the devil bringing this kind of thought, or just like showing you as a picture, a film, showing the whole world and what is in the world and how can you get all these things if you just worship me or if you just listen to me. But the 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, if you read 15 to 17.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
So what other things are there? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the three temptations comes to everyone. That temptation came to Adam. The same temptation, same trial he is bringing to Jesus Christ. So let's read further.
And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
So what the devil was saying, I give all the things which belong to me. When did he get it? When he deceived Adam, and Adam listened to him, he became Adam's master, he became the king of the world, and now he says, all the kingdom of the world says belong to me, I'm going to give it to you. But hear the word of God saying, all these worldly things will pass away. The only thing will be live there forever, who abides in the God and who loves God and do according to the will of God, that person will live forever. All the things what we see with our eyes, everything is going to vanish away one day. But God is there for eternity. And so the Jesus Christ also gave him an example that he said, we should only love the Lord and serve the Lord. We just already read one verse. Go to the Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name.
Love the Lord, cling to the Lord, serve him, that will keep us forever. You remember Sunday we were studying, and the lawyer comes and asks the questions. And Jesus Christ already asked him, what you think about what the law said? Then he said, you should serve the Lord with your own heart and own soul and own strength and own mind and love the neighbor as yourself. Jesus Christ said, okay, then do that way and you will have eternal life. And so people know how to do the things, but it is not easy. You can only do those things when you have Christ in you. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world. So we can receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then he gives you power to overcome the enemy. Now we are learning how Jesus Christ overcame the enemy. He said each time the enemy came, he says it is written. And he did not go against the word of God, against God's will. The word of God says in James, resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. God has given us power to resist the enemy. But if you make enemy your friend, then you will be God's enemy. You will be going away from the Lord. So we have to resist the enemy, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. Now, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, it says, when Jesus Christ said to him, get behind me, Satan, otherwise get out of here. And so he went. But Luke says he did not go forever. He went for a season, for time. Let's read that's Matthew 4:11.
Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Go to the Luke chapter 4, verse 13.
And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season.
Okay. He departed from him for a season. That means he said, well, I'll be back. But the word of God says in the same Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, when devil departed, angels came and ministered unto him. That means he had a real battle with the enemy. He was exhausted. He already was fasting for 40 days. At that time, angel didn't come and say, okay, you are hungry, you are tired, I came here to help you. When the angel came, when he won the battle, and he was victorious, but at the same time, he was exhausted. And so the angel came, ministered to him. And then, as the Luke said, he left him for a season. The same enemy came in Gethsemane. Go to the Luke chapter 22, verse 43.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him.
Now here, I'm just reading the last word, that angel came to strengthen him. What happened here? In Gethsemane, he was praying and his sweat drops of blood. So the devil wanted to kill him in the Gethsemane. But he prayed and said, Lord, take this cup away. I don't want to die in Gethsemane. I want to go on a cross. I want to take the sin of the world. I want to take the curse of the world. And I want to die on the cross. But the devil is killing me in this Gethsemane. And so he prayed and God heard his prayer. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
See, here is saying, God saved him from the death, and whatever the fear he had that he is going to die in Gethsemane, God took care of that. So God did not allow him to die in Gethsemane, and so when he prayed with the tears and loud voice, God heard it. This prayer, he never did it anywhere in his lifetime. Only I believe he did it in Gethsemane. And so many people are saying, he was saying, take this cup away means I don't want to go to cross. No, he wanted to go to cross. When Pilate said, you know, I have power to set you free, he said, you don't have power. Only God has power. And so he was willing to go to cross and give his life on the cross. But the devil wanted to kill him in Gethsemane. That's why he prayed with the tears and loud voice. And the word of God says God heard his prayer and God delivered him from the death. And then the word of God says the angel came that we already read in book of Luke chapter 22 verse 43. Angel came and ministered to him. That means he was there also very weak and tired just like he was in the time of temptation or time of trouble. He was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He was extremely weak in Gethsemane. Here he lost lots of blood. And so he was very weak and he was dying. And so angel came and ministered to him. Okay, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 12.
Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, the land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death light is sprung up.
The word of God says, the prophecy has to be fulfilled. That's why Jesus Christ lived the Nazareth and came here and lived among this coast of Galilee where the couple of names are given. Naphtali, Capernaum, and Zebulun. Now, when these places Jesus Christ lived, somebody says Capernaum, he had a headquarter. And so we learn that all these places Jesus did, so many signs and wonders and miracles, and very few people turn to God. So he says, when the judgment time, Sodom and Gomorrah will have a lesser time or easy than these cities, because he was personally there and doing the Lord's work. So here he says the prophecy should be fulfilled. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2.
Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
I heard other day one preacher was saying, in that Sea of Galilee and then some part of this area, all these Gentiles people were doing fishing business and this and that. So the word of God says he even got a chance to give the light to the Gentiles and give the message to Gentiles. So this prophecy was fulfilled. And we learn in book of Luke chapter 1 verse 79.
To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
This is what the Zechariah was saying. This is what Jesus Christ is coming to give light and to give peace to the Gentiles as well as the believers. Chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 and verse 32.
A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.
See, Jesus Christ gave the light to Gentiles and even the show his glory to Israel. Many people from different parts of that area, even the Syria and other places, people came to him. And so he was the light, not only to Gentiles and Israeli people, but he was light for the whole world. Go back to the Matthew, start reading from verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17.
From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him.
Verse 22. It says, and they immediately left the ship and their father and they followed him. Now, when you read in this Matthew, it seems like he just goes and tells the people, follow me, and they kept on following. But if you read in St. John chapter 1 and Luke chapter 5, is given the story how the disciples came up to Jesus. In John, he says, John was preaching and he said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And so some of his disciples wanted to know more about Jesus and they followed him. Let's go to the St. John chapter 1 and start reading from verse 35.
Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus.
John introduced Jesus Christ, and these disciples wanted to find out more about Jesus, and they followed him.
Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee.
This many disciples just listened to the John the Baptist and followed. Andrew followed. He goes and tells Peter. He introduced Peter to Jesus. Jesus changed his name. And still these people did not give up anything. They just doing the fishing business. Go to the book of Luke chapter 5 and start reading from verse 10 and 11, only two verses.
And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
So this is the way it happened. But the Matthew just said, you know, he saw the disciples and says, Just follow me, and they followed. These people knew about Jesus Christ, studied about him, walked with him, and still they did not give up the business. Once Jesus Christ came into this boat, you have to read the Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and then you'll get the story. But here we see Jesus Christ comes in their boat. They could not catch anything. He says, put it in the deep. They got a lot of fish. That's the time Peter start thinking, I'm not even worthy. Jesus Christ is in my boat. That Jesus Christ said, don't worry. From today onwards, you are going to catch people, not fish. And so they give up the business, and their partners give up the business, and then they followed. And then you read in, we will be reading in Matthew chapter 10. Then there were so many other disciples. Let's read a couple of verses and we're going to finish. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 4.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him.
All these 12 men were chosen from other people, and there were some other disciples, but these 12 were made apostles. Okay, so let's go back to the Matthew and start reading from verse 23.
And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan.
See how many places? Starting from Syria and all the surrounding areas, he said Jerusalem, Galilee, Judea, Jordan, Decapolis, and all these places people start coming. And what was his message? He says he started, repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And Mark says, when he started preaching, first thing he did, Mark chapter 1 verse 15, he says Jesus Christ started preaching, repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. So he was not only preaching about the kingdom of God, but destroying the works of the devil. And all sick people came with different kinds of sickness and disease. The word of God says he not only preaching in the all Galilees, but he says he went to every synagogue, teaching and the gospel of kingdom of God, and healing and delivering them from all kinds of disease. Jesus Christ passed his test. And he was victorious. Adam failed his test. And that's why sin, sickness, and disease came into this world. Jesus Christ passed this test, died on the cross of Calvary, took your sin, my sickness, my disease on the cross, rose again, and he has given us the same power. Now we read all these miracles he did, and many people followed him wherever he went. St. John chapter 14, verse 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
I did all the signs and wonders and miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, and all kinds of things. Now I'm going to go to my Father, but whatever the work I did, you will do also, and you will do greater works than what I did. So God has given us power. He did not kept us powerless. The only one thing we have to learn, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, and study the word, and the word will give you victory. The word of God says he sent the word, he delivered them, and healed them. The word of God is Jesus Christ. Once the Jesus Christ is in us, we have power to defeat the enemy. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study your word. Be with us, sanctify us, protect us from all the dangers and harm. We want each and everyone who is sitting and standing in this hall be healed by the power of God. We rebuke the demonic forces coming against us. Let each and everyone be strong and healthy by the power of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.